Nice to be with you this morning to share your fellowship. The Lord bless you indeed. Shall we have a reading first in the book of Revelation, a few verses. Revelation 1, commencing to read at verse 5. Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And now may we have a passage, a short passage in John. John chapter 20, some well-known words. Verse 19, John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I would not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. God will add his blessing on those lovely portions of his precious word. I want to pass a few thoughts on to you this morning on a subject which is a loving subject. It's a tender subject. It's the subject of the wounds of Jesus. The wounds of Jesus. What was it that could be seen in his hands and his side and his feet? Why, the very nail prints. The very wounds of Calvary, the love wounds of the Saviour. He was in a resurrection body, wasn't he? He'd been raised from the dead, and in that resurrection body, there were those marks of Calvary. Why was it that in his resurrection body, the Lord retained those very wounds of his love and of his passion? You see, in the resurrection body, he could have removed them entirely, so that nothing could be seen. But now, here they are, the very wounds of Calvary, in his hands, in his side, and in his feet. Why was it that the Lord preserved those wounds, wounds of Calvary, in that resurrection body? I think one of their hymn writers says this: still upon his hands the nail prints, and the scars upon his brow, our Redeemer, Lord and Saviour, in the glory standeth now. The Lord has retained them. But why? He could have removed them entirely. But no, there they are, in his resurrection body, the wounds for you and for me. You know, I believe these wounds are the infallible proofs of his person. Didn't the Lord say, he said, reach hither your hand, behold my hands and my side, put your hand into my side. These wounds of Calvary that the Lord preserved, they were the very wounds, the infallible proofs of his person. There's many infallible proofs in the scripture. In fact, Luke mentions quite a number of them, 7 of them in one passage. He breathed on them. He stood in front of them. But I think one of the greatest is these. The Lord bore the very marks of Calvary. And the Lord himself, he said, handle me and see. It is I myself. These were a lovely proof of the Lord's resurrection body, the one that went all the way to Calvary for you and for me. Oh, I'm glad the Lord has retained those. This is none other than the Lord himself, the dying Saviour. Yes, and the resurrected Lord. And this he is done for you and for me. Infallible proofs of his person. You see, Thomas, he couldn't believe. He said, unless I see, I must see for myself. And unless I see, I'm not going to believe. And you know, the Lord read his thoughts. And the second time, about a week after, he said, write to Thomas. Thomas, bring your hand, put it into my side. And the Lord, Thomas was invited to put his very hand in the wounds of Calvary. It doesn't say that he did it, does he? No. I believe when he saw those wounds, he was convinced in his soul that this was none other than the Son of God, the crucified Saviour. And what did he say? Why, his heart overflowed in adoration. And he said, my Lord and my God. A worshipping heart. And Thomas's doubts, why, they went out of the window. No room for doubt. He was a believer, an honest believer. An honest doubter first, but now an honest believer. These marks that the Lord had and invited Thomas was none other the infallible proofs of the person of the Lord. You see, no other man could stand in front of them with a wound to the heart except the Son of God. He was the resurrected Lord, risen for you and risen for me. One lady, you know, she said in a group, in a meeting, she said, I'm longing to see the Saviour. And an infidel said to this woman, how will you know him? You've never seen him. Oh, she said, I should know him. I should know him by the nail prints in his hand. And dear friend, the Lord has retained those as tokens of his person. The wounds, his love wounds for you and for me. Some hymn writer said, are there any marks to lead me to him if he be my guide? Yes, in his hands and feet and nail prints and his side. Infallible marks of his person. No other one could stand. He is the risen, resurrected Lord who died for you and for me. the marks of the Lord, the wounds of the Lord, I believe are jewels of his passion. They're jewels of his passion. We might say, well, why was it that the Lord kept them? Well, they were very marks in his own body of his love for you and me. One hymn writer puts it very well. He visualizes the angels in glory, and they're in the glory, and they look upon the resurrected Lord, and they see those wounds in his hands and in his brow and in his side. And the hymn writer says something like this: crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye at mysteries so great. And the hymn writer visualizes those angels scanning those wounds, and they can't make it out why the creator of the universe has the wounds in his resurrection body. And then it dawns upon them, he was the one who was the Emmanuel, the one that came down, that suffered and bled and died to bring many sons unto glory. And as the Lord explains to those heavenly hosts, they bow in worship. And the whole anthem of nations, of the angels, the whole realm of glory explodes in an anthem of praise. He is worthy, the Lamb upon the throne. Yes, they were jewels of his passion. No angel can fathom the depth of that love. A love that's eternal. He loved us with an everlasting love. Yes, they were jewels of his passion. They're like a forget-me-not of the Lord's love for you and for me. I think some writers are putting in another thought. Cowper, he said these: even since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. These wounds of the Lord Jesus are the emblems of his passion, the love that took him all the way to Calvary, that you might be made a member of the heavenly family of the sons of God. The wounds of the Lord Jesus, again, they're emblems of his victory. Emblems of his victory. Do you remember that lovely promise away in Genesis? Right at the early part of the ages of history, and that promise was given to those pair in the garden, that a Redeemer would come, and he would bruise the serpent's head. And in doing so, his heel would be bruised. And how wonderful that prophecy was fulfilled at Calvary. The serpent's head was bruised, but the heel of the Lord Jesus, his humanity, the heel, was wounded. He suffered and bled for you and I. His heel, his humanity, suffered. But why? It was a token of his victory. That prophecy was fulfilled. And the Lord rose again. And we can say with Isaiah, wounded for me. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. By weakness and defeat, he won the Median crown. Trod all his foes beneath his feet by being trodden down. And these wounds of the Lord Jesus are the tokens of his eternal victory over sin, over Satan, and over death. Do you remember Goliath? He came and he wanted to get the victory, the huge giant. But David came and he slew this huge giant by his own sword. And that's what our Saviour has done. The Lord has gone into death. He's gone into suffering. And he's slain death by his own sword. By witness and defeat, he's won the Median crown. And you and I, we're on the victory side through the victory of the Lord at Calvary. And these wounds of Calvary are the weapons of his victory. Do you remember they wanted to capture Samson, didn't they? And they shut him in the city, and they thought, now we've caught him. And what did Samson do? Why, he strode to the gates, he lifted up the iron gates, put them on his shoulder, locked, barrel and all. There he marched down with the gates of this city. And that's what the Lord has done for you. He's gone into death. He lifted up the gates of hell and of death, put them on his shoulders, and he's gone out in the victory march over death, over sin and Satan. Yes, he's the victor. And you and I, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yes. Thine be the glory, risen, glorious Son. Endless is the victory which thy death has won. Yes, he's the victory. What did David do with the sword of Goliath? He defeated Goliath with his own sword. And what did he do? Why, he put that sword in the sanctuary. He laid it up in the sanctuary to be a reminder of his victory over the giant. I think that's a lovely picture. The Lord, he's got the wounds in Calvary, in the sanctuary. And what are they? They're tokens of his victory over Satan, over death, over the lion, over the devil. And there they are, and we shall see them. And they are there, eternal. And they are weapons of the Lord's victory over sin, Satan, and death. And what are you like? Why, we're on the victory side. We're on the victory side through the conquering Saviour, the risen, glorious Son. Endless is the victory which his death has won. What a lovely forget-me-not the Lord has given to you and I. He's preserved these wounds, loving wounds, to show that he's the victor over death. But another thing, they're powerful. The wounds of the Lord Jesus are powerful advocates. The Lord now, he's the high priest in glory, and he intercedes for you and I. He ever liveth, the scripture says, to make intercession for us. And he intercedes before the Father's throne. And how does he intercede? Well, where you and I fail, in the glory, the Lord intercedes. He shows those wounds. And before the Father's throne, the throne of grace, those wounds can be seen. And through the blood of Calvary, through those wounds, you and I can find forgiveness and peace and pardon. Oh yes, we can sin. What does John say? If we sin, we have an advocate, an intercessor with the Father. We can find forgiveness. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And those wounds in glory, they're a wonderful plea. You see, the Lord has borne our sin. Those wounds speak of all the sin, our sin that was laid upon the sacrifice. Oh, what wonderful advocates they are in the glory. They speak of the wonderful atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Yes, he's made, what does it say? He's made an eternal redemption for us. And those wounds, they're not only weapons of his victory over sin, but they're powerful advocates. They plead before the Father's throne. Somebody said this, they put in a hymn. When Satan tempts me to despair, tells me of the wrong within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. That's lovely, isn't it? When Satan tempts you to despair, you look up and see the one who has got the marks of Calvary. The one that's the very receipt of your salvation. Those wounds, they're the receipt of your eternal salvation. You know, Luther was tempted of the devil one day, and he... he came in to devil to Luther's presence with a whole board of Luther's sins, a blackboard. And Luther, he looked at these sins, all the errors and sins that he'd done, and he said to the devil, "Is that all?" No, the devil said no. And he brought another blackboard, all of Luther's sins. And he was ashamed. He says, "Is that all?" No, he says, "There's still another one." And he brought in another one, all of his black sins. And Luther said to the devil, "Is that all?" He says, "Yes, that's all." And Luther said, "Well, write upon them all, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin." Yes, we have an advocate with the Father. And those very wounds, they are powerful advocates. They plead before the Father's throne. And you and I can find an initial forgiveness from all our sin. And if we fall and fail, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Those wounds are the receipt of your pardon. They are the receipt of your pardon. The debt's been paid. Jesus paid it. And you can find forgiveness and eternal salvation. There was a Roman emperor, Tarjan. Do you know it's said of this Roman Empire that he took his very clothes, his royal robes off, and he bound them up around the wounds of his soldiers. That was a remarkable act, wasn't it? But the Lord Jesus, why? His very body was wounded for you and I. And through his wounds of Calvary, you and I can be bound up and healed. Yes, the emperor, he gave his clothes. The Lord, he gave himself. His very body, his blood, his brow, his side, his feet. He gave everything so that you might be healed, restored and forgiven, as the hymn says. Yes, they are powerful advocates. They speak forever before. Because the sinless Saviour died, my guilty soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to crucify him and pardon me. What love, tokens of his advocacy. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. But again, the wounds of the Lord Jesus are emblems of his priesthood. They're emblems of his priesthood. You see, the Lord Jesus, he was a sacrificing priest. His body was a sacrifice. He offered himself as a sacrifice once for sin. And he offered his blood and body for you and I, that you might be healed, restored, forgiven. But he's an interceding priest. His sacrifice is over once in the end of the age, as he appeared to put away sin. That's his eternal sacrifice. But no more. That's forever. Every believer, every person can come and they can plead that sacrifice and find pardon. But the Lord today, he's an interceding priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Day by day, he pleads for you and me. He remembers, he knows that we're dust. He knows our problems. He knows our failings. He knows our victories. And he ever liveth. He's an interceding priest. You see, in the old days, they couldn't come in to the holies, could they? There was that big veil in the way, and the sinners, they were outside of their presence. But when the Lord Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and there was an access right into God's presence. You see, the Lord had shed his blood. He made a sacrifice, and through that merit of his eternal blood, we can have a way right in God's presence. He's broken the barrier of sin and he's made a way for you and I to come right into the presence of members of God's family. Joint heirs with Christ, what a wonderful position. And that's the position. It's the high priest. And these tokens, the wounds of the Lord Jesus, are the tokens of the access we have right into God's presence. We can look up and say, "Our Father, the Lord Jesus is our friend and Saviour. And we come at all times, right in. No more to stand outside. No, what does it say? He's made a new and living way, right into his presence. And he ever lives to make his
they're the emblems of his priesthood.
No other could do that. No pope, no priest, we don't need those. The Lord is the sacrifice and is the intercession. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Have you come that way, dear friend? Do you know the mediator? Is he your saviour? Are these emblems tokens to you of his undying love? Emblems of his priesthood. What does it say? He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He's the sympathising high priest, isn't he? Sacrificing high priest, an interceding high priest, a sympathetic high priest. He knows just how you feel. He's been here before. He suffered for you. And he can meet your need. I've nearly finished, but there's one other thing I want to say. The wounds of the Lord Jesus, they are accusing witnesses. They are accusing witnesses to those who spurn the blood of Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if you turn to Zechariah, you'll find when the Lord comes the second time, when his feet touch the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives is going to rend in the midst, and it's going to divide. But afterwards, the Jews, they're going to mourn every family apart. And what do we read in Revelation 1? They'll look on him whom they pierced. They'll see the wounds that they made. They were the ones who crucified him. They were the ones that pierced those blessed hands and side. But yes, and you and I did too, didn't we? He was there for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. We were in effect putting him in there on the cross. But they'll see them. And they'll say to him, What are these wounds in your hands? And the Lord will say to them, these are the wounds that I received in the house of my friends. And you know it says that they'll weep every family apart. They'll realize this is none other than the Messiah. The one that came to them, come to their house. The one that came to Bethlehem. The one that came to his own nation. And they cast him out. They put him on a cross. And now realize in their day they were the ones who moved to him. And what accusing witnesses they'll be in that day. What can you think? Supposing you were in their place, what would you think? That I did those wounds. I made him go and to be crucified. It was my sin to put him there. And they'll be accusing witnesses. Oh, I know that many, many will turn and they'll look on him and they'll pierce and they'll realise that he's their saviour, their Messiah and Lord, and they'll repent and they'll mourn. But dear friends, in those days they'll be condemned because they won't repent of their sin. And today, dear friends, I wonder if people come into this hall and they crucify the Saviour afresh. They don't believe that he loved them. They don't believe the word of God when God so loved the world. And these are accusing witnesses to them. Because the Lord has made his sacrifice. And God has given assurance unto all men. Unto all, everybody. God has given assurance that he's made a way of salvation. And he's raised Christ from the dead. And there's no excuse, but many will have this awful damnation that they'll refuse the Saviour who loved them unto death, and they'll never receive him. Oh, I know that I speak to those who love him today. These are the tokens of his undying love. Wounded for me. Wounded for, perhaps we can sing that. Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. For my transgressions, and now I'm free, all because Jesus was wounded. Risen for me, up from the grave he has risen for me. Now evermore, from death's sting I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me.